Amen. With all the news and everything that is happening around the world. And I just want to say, again, for those that came here just a bit ago, we are going to meet as a church, the church leaders at our board meeting, to decide what we're going to do in the future meetings. And it's a good chance we may close for the next few weeks. But this is why you see the lights here, and I want to remind you that we do have a Facebook page. So if we decide to close, you can continue to watch the sermons that will be shared from this pulpit. It may be by me by myself with the audiovisual team meeting here at the same time to have the sermon, and possibly someone teaching the Sabbath school. But you'll be able to watch that on our Cartersville Facebook page, okay? And again, I remind you, for those that came late, we want to have you part of our mass communication system. So if you would just write your name, your phone number, and your email, if you're not part of our notification system already, just put that in the plate. The deacons will have the plates at the exit. Just drop it off in the plate. And then I will add you so that when we send a mass communication, you would be updated with what decisions we are making. All right, so with that, I would ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are asking you now for the wisdom that only you can give, the wisdom that proceeds from heaven. I pray, Father, that you may illuminate our minds, for spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Give us, Father, individually, an understanding of what you want us to understand in today's message. Help us to go home knowing that we have heard from Jesus. So, Father, I want to uplift you today and not myself. Help me to remain humble, that you may be exalted. This is my prayer. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the strongest bondships is the love of a mother for her child. Even before that child is born, during her pregnancy, a mother begins to form a special bond. Amen. And begins to think of all the clothes that that child will one day wear. The mother begins to put special care in the thoughts for that child. In the Healthy Dave News for Better Living, we read Jen's testimony. She says the following. Jen Harrington of South Riding, Virginia, felt the rush the instant she looked at her new son. People had warned her that she was about to fall in love as never before, but she didn't know what they meant until Joshua came along. And this is what she says. It was like I wasn't even living before I looked at my baby. A mother, in the latter years of her pregnancy, can feel her child moving and kicking in her womb. The mother, during those months of pregnancy, builds a foundation of love that continues to grow until that day when she gives birth. There is an emotional high, and when she finally can hold in her arms that innocent and that fragile baby, they can look and gaze into each other's eyes. You know, studies have shown that the baby also begins to form a bond and begins to recognize the mother within a few hours. In just 7 to 8 months of that baby being born, that baby begins to form a strong emotional attachment with her or his mom. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that a mother dreams of the glory of her child. A mother defends her child and nurtures and desires the best for her children. Is there any mothers that can say amen to that? Amen? All right. I just didn't hear any amens and I wasn't sure However, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, we find that God's people will believe that they have been abandoned. And notice in Isaiah, the reassurance that God will not forsake his church. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49? Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to look at a very important message today. Chapter 49, and we're going to begin with verse 14. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning with verse 14 and verse 15. Would you say amen when you're there? The Word of God tells us, excuse me, I'm looking for it. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath what? Forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not what? Forget thee. As strong as the love of a mother may be for her child, we are reminded that even in the cases of the mother's love for her children, there are exceptions when a mother may forget to have compassion for the son of her own womb. Today, more and more, we're seeing cases when mothers have betrayed the child of their womb. Isaiah the prophet says, Zion has said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Isaiah the prophet looks into the future and comes today to testify to you and to me with a message. Isaiah, this ancient prophet, and though his writings are written in an ancient book, and let me tell you, I went on Amazon, top 20 bestsellers and New York bestsellers. The Bible is not in that list, but I want to tell you, the Bible is the best-selling book in history. Amen? But this book, this ancient book, is not like any other book, and the message of Isaiah speaks with increasing meaning to our own lives today. And the pages in this book comes alive to bring hope and to revive you today and to bring back you from the land of the dead to a living faith in the Son of God. Amen? So if you are here today, are you listening to me? It is because the Holy Spirit woke you up this morning. And he wants to revive in you a living faith. He wants to burn the flame in your heart that you once had. Amen? Isaiah tells us that the mother may forget and not have compassion for the child of her womb, but today he wants you and me to know something about the message that he has for you. And if you go with me to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3, notice what the Bible says. Look, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to begin with verse 1 through verse 3. Notice how he begins this book. Listen, O what? Isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Verse 2. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and he made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. In other words, Isaiah says, listen to my message, because even though a mother may forsake the child of her womb, God has called me from the womb. And he continues to say, yes, the God we serve calls us even before we can speak intelligible words. And from the bowels of my mother had he made mention of my name. And I want to tell you, before you were even born, Jesus had a calling for you. Verse 2, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, describing this sharp sword. In his quiver had he hid me, where you hide that sword. Friends, Isaiah in boldness comes to us today, this morning, saying, not only has he called me from the womb, he comes with the words of a sword, and that sword is the Word of God. Amen? Hebrews 4:12, I want to remind you, says the following, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Beloved church, Isaiah was not just an Adventist who decided to take up ministry as a profession. No! You know the difference, right? I just had my ordination interview. By God's grace, I'm going to be ordained here in the month of October. Amen? But Isaiah was not just an Adventist believing that Jesus' advent was soon, who decided to take up ministry as a profession. Isaiah was chosen of God. He was called into ministry to be a prophet of the Lord. And when Isaiah opened his mouth, the people of God listened, for the gospel was in his mouth, brothers and sisters. In other words, Isaiah didn't enter into ministry because, oh, I just want to choose a profession. Isaiah stepped into the ministry because he was called by God. And that is the difference, brothers and sisters. Being called by God. Isaiah spoke of the mysteries of the Messiah, the Savior to come. But here in chapter 49, Isaiah brings a message to the people of God that are living in the last days. Isaiah was called for a mission. Would you skip down to verse 6? Isaiah 49, verse 6. Notice, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee a light to the what? Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. His mission was not only to speak to Israel, God's people, but we find here that there was another mission that was going to reach to the very end of the earth, that everyone was to hear the message of salvation. The promise to Isaiah was a message that Israel was going to be used to bring the gospel to the very ends of the world. And Isaiah looked even farther into the future to see this being fulfilled by spiritual Israel and the gospel church. You know, God first and always gives us the promise, but we often forget the promise and we fall into despair. We have been called with a mission. Yes? And despite the visions of glory and despite the promises of hope, God's church will go through a time of despair and will seem to lose faith, to the point where Isaiah the prophet says that Zion, the church of God, has said, God has forgotten me. God has forsaken me. What is this time or despair or ordeal that God's church will go through? Why is the church of God saying that God has abandoned them? Please turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And I'm going to give you a quick summary here of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. The church here in the Sabbath school class, the adult Sabbath school class, have been studying the book of Daniel for these last few weeks. I noticed that the book of Daniel climaxes, brothers and sisters, to a point where God's church is now brought to the picture. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, we read the following, and at that time, what time? And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be what? Delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Brothers and sisters, Michael is going to stand up at that time. What time? During the time of trouble. God's church is going to go through a time of trouble. Are you listening? And it will be a time unlike any other time in history, brothers and sisters. Beloved church, here we see that the climax of the saga of the ages, Daniel builds up the entire book that judgment is coming. Quickly, Daniel chapter 1 is judgment in eating at the king's table and being healthy, worthy, and wise. So Daniel opens up the book when it comes to the topic of health. Is that not what we're talking about today? Daniel 2, judgment upon the pretenders and the false prophets and the secular nations of the world. Daniel 3 is judgment for not bowing down to the idol and the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 4, judgment upon King Nebuchadnezzar for pride, and 7 years he eats grass like an animal. Daniel chapter 5, judgment upon Belshazzar, who dared to vow God with a handwriting upon the wall, with his kingdom given to the Medes and the Persians. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is judged and thrown into the lion's dens, and the false accusers also are judged, and the lion's mouth they shut for the righteous, and the lion's ferocity for the wicked. Daniel chapter 7, judgment upon the four beasts, and the four beasts with a little horn dares to speak against the Most High, but the judgment sits and his dominion is taken away, and the Ancient of Days appears with the saints to give judgment upon this horn power. Daniel chapter 8, judgment is upon the mysterious fierce king that with his craft shall magnify himself, going against the prince of princes, but shall be broken without hand, that is, by divine power. Daniel chapter 9, judgment of the 70 weeks, 70 times 7, upon Israel to repent. Daniel chapter 10, judgment on Persia and how Satan attempts to delay the plans of God. Daniel chapter 11, the kings of the north will overthrow many and enter into the glorious land, but tidings of the east shall trouble him, and the kings of the north shall be judged and come to an end. Yes, God's people will go through a time of trouble, but so will the Antichrist power. Amen? And he will be judged, and he shall be broken. But Daniel chapter 12 gives us the details that judgment will finally come, and Michael shall stand for his people. A time of trouble like never seen before is coming. God's people will have to go through a time of trouble. God's church must go through a sifting process, a time of testing, to see who will really stand underneath the banner of Christ. And Michael will come to defend those that are his. Please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30. You see, Isaiah is not the only one. Daniel is not the only one. But Jeremiah also speaks about this time. Jeremiah, chapter 30, beginning with verse 5. Jeremiah, chapter 30, beginning with verse 5. Would you say amen when you're there? For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of... What is the voice that is being heard? What are we hearing today in today's headlines around the world? And brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, Matthew 24, Luke chapter 21, all these things that are being described that is going to happen before the appearing of the Son of God, the Bible says that men's hearts will fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. Jeremiah, looking into the future, he hears that there is a voice of trembling and a voice of fear. Look at verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6. Ask ye now and see whether a man doeth travail with child. Brothers and sisters, can men have babies? Praise God. But Jeremiah, in order to get the message across, because we're a little bit hard-headed, he says that a time is coming that would appear as if men are in travail. Do you see the strong language that he's using? The men will also experience such a time as if the experience of the labor pains of a woman building up. Look at verse 6. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his what? Loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into what? Jeremiah is looking at society in the last days. And he is seeing that when we look at Matthew, when we look at all the earthquakes, when we look at all the pestilences, hello, when we look at all the wars and rumors of wars, when we see supernatural events with signs and wonders and things that are coming upon the earth, we're going to find a time that there's going to be much trembling, much paleness, and the men's hands will be upon their loins as a woman in travail. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Isn't that the same thing that the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 says? It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but hallelujah, where there's judgment, there's always grace. Amen? And notice what the Bible says, but he shall be what? Saved out of it. Hallelujah. There is a way of escape. And that way of escape has a name, and his name is Jesus. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel all speak of a time when God's church will have to go through a time of trouble. And here Jeremiah speaks that God's people will experience fear, and the depiction is that the men are like a woman in travail with faces turned into paleness. Why? Because what's coming, dear church, is great, and none will be like it. In that time, the prophet is described as a time of Jacob's trouble. Friends, beloved family, Church of God, you remember last week we spoke that God's end time church is not ready to meet the crisis. Remember that? Were you here last week? And this is biblical. In the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church is not ready to meet the crisis because they are what? Lukewarm. And God comes with a remedy to the church. You think you've increased in goods, but you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, you're miserable. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. Buy of me this white raiment. Buy of me the eye salve so that you can see. So we understand that the Laodicean church depicted in the book of Revelation is lukewarm, and God needs to get his church ready. And before we get into what this experience of Jacob's trouble, what does it mean, I first want to take you to Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Would you go with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 12? So not only is God's church having a crisis, even though they're not quite ready, notice what is happening here in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. The Word of God tells us here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, therefore, rejoice you, or ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Who dwells in heaven? The angels, right? God, the Godhead, the angels. And it says, rejoice ye in heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Why? Why? Well, let's continue to read. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having what? Great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, and we're not going to get into this whole study here, but when Jesus died on Calvary, Satan no longer had any access to the gates of heaven as the accuser of the brethren, okay? We know that. We've studied that before. Before, he will continue to say things, but now he's completely doesn't have any access. But now he comes down with his wrath unto the inhabitants of the earth, because he knows that he has a short time. And let me tell you, if there is something that the devil has better than us, is that the devil knows what time it is. And he knows that his time is short. While the church believes that we have, some of us believe we have a good time. Go down, skip to verse 17 in the same chapter. Verse 17, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Notice what the devil does, or the dragon. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is good news, because it tells me that the church does not remain in the Laodicean lukewarm condition. Amen? The church becomes an obedient church who wants to keep the commandments of God, and they have the faith of Jesus. And according to the Bible, even though Satan was defeated by Jesus on the cross, he now focuses upon God's church to make war against a movement, a remnant, a church that will exist in the last days. And who is that remnant? We find that it is a people that keep the commandments of God, including the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. Amen? The church will become Satan's target. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Well, let me ask you this. How strong is your faith? Satan will work miracles to deceive. Are you listening? Friends, it's a time of pestilences and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. And when the false prophets, it's a time when false prophets and false teachers will come forth and many will be deceived. It is in a time of crisis. It is in a time when people don't know where to look. It is a time when there is fear. It is a time when people are perplexed. when the devil takes advantage, and there will be a rise of many false prophets and teachers. Yes. I would like to read from you from the Spirit of Prophecy, the seventh volume of the Bible Commentary from the Spirit of Prophecy, page 911. Notice what it says here. Satan will work his miracles to deceive. He will set up his power as supreme, and the church may appear as it's about to fall, but it does not fall. It remains while the sinners in Zion will be sifted out, the chaff separated from the precious wheat. This is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless, it must take place. None but those who have been overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony will be found with the loyal and true, without spot or stain of sin, without gall in their mouths. The remnant that purify their souls by obeying the truth gather strength from the trying process, exhibiting the beauty of holiness amid the surrounding apostasy. Brothers and sisters, this, I'm going to repeat it, this is going to be a terrible ordeal when the wheat will be separated from the chaff. And brothers and sisters, I'm looking at you right now, each person that is sitting here, and there is not one reason why you should not be a candidate for heaven. There's not a reason why anyone that is sitting here should not partake of that heavenly home. Amen? And brothers and sisters, I want to say we are all sinners. We all have fallen short to the glory of God. But by God's grace, amen, we still are living in a time of grace where we can come to Jesus Christ and repent and be forgiven, amen? And even though we have a short time, God can bless us in our studies. We can gain knowledge in a short time. We can gain trust. But don't put it off. Friends, all kinds of deception will attempt to deceive you for you to abandon the truth. Are you listening to me? We have not fully seen what the devil has up his sleeve. But let me tell you, one of the things he's going to try to do is to make you abandon the truth that has been given to you. On top of that, we will go through a trying time known as the time of Jacob's trouble, a time that Zion may think that God has forsaken them. And to understand what this time of Jacob's trouble, we need to first understand his character. Jacob was a man who was not an unbeliever. Are you with me? In fact, would you agree with me that Jacob, for the most part, was a spiritual man who wanted to live in accordance to God? Yes, for the most part. He was a spiritual man. He had every good spiritual trait. He cherished the blessings of God. He was ever hospitable and caring for others, but he lacked in other areas which needed correction. Patriots and Prophets, page 178, tells us the following. But while he thus esteemed eternal and above temporal blessings, Jacob had not an experimental knowledge of God whom he revered. His heart had not been renewed by divine grace. How many of you esteem eternal things, amen, above the temporal? I believe that all of us that are here, we are looking toward heaven. But have we had an experimental knowledge with our God? How many of us living in these last days who, like Jacob, have spent spiritual aspirations and cherish heavenly things, but we do not have an experimental knowledge of God. It is this experimental knowledge of God that is crucial and necessary. Many of us have been raised in the church and have many friends within this church, and we only have what I call a social media friendship with God. You know what a social media friendship is? How many friends do we have on Facebook that they're not really friends, right? And we have that same kind of relationship with God. Not a experimental knowledge of a saving owner of the gospel. Jacob's heart had not been renewed by divine grace. Self had not been subdued. He resorted to sharp practices, as was illustrated in the method by which he obtained the birthright and in the dealings with Laban over the cattle. He lacked faith and did not allow God to work things out for him. In this, the experience of any, is this the experience of any in the church? Do we resort to sharp practices in our dealings with one another? Has self been subdued? Is our faith purified and triumphant? Friends, what happened with Jacob afterwards? He entered into a crisis, Jacob's trouble. Please go with me now to the book of Genesis chapter 32. We're coming to the end of this message. Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 24. Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 24. Jacob is going to enter into his crisis. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, we read the following. The Bible tells us here in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was what? Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the what? Until the breaking of the day. Jacob, if you remember, was filled with guilt and failure. You remember what he did against his brother in deceiving him. Church family, please listen. Jacob was not so worried about the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors of wars and all other pandemics, but his crisis was despite the promises that God will be with him. He remembered the things that he did in this life, and they came before him. He was running from his own brother who wanted to persecute him. And the Bible tells us that Jacob was left alone. Why? Because if you remember, the context tells us that when he ran for his life. He left with a large group. But later, he's in a small company until he crosses the river. And when he crosses that river, he is now left alone. Friends, the time of Jacob's trouble will be a one-on-one experience with you and with your Maker God. You may have been in the church. You may have lived for the most part as of a Christian life, but a time will come when we will have to go through an experience to make a decision to either continue in this nominal Christianity with a Christianity that is only surface, on the surface. No death into our Christianity. We're going to have to make a decision. Do we continue to live in this surface level of Christianity with no death, or will we wrestle with God? Jacob was alone when this mysterious person appeared, and he wrestled and wrestled through the night watch. And the more he wrestled, he came to learn that he was wrestling with God himself. And he cried. May the Holy Spirit put in our ears the sound of the words of Jacob when he cried. How did it sound? I will not let you go until you bless me. Was he weeping when he said it? Was it a desperate cry? Was it a shout? I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob, in his great crisis, with the burden of guilt bearing upon his shoulders, with the anguish of the fraud that he had committed in his life against his very own brother, he wrestled with God. He prayed and he prayed to the break of dawn until the angel of the Lord touched him. And brothers and sisters, Jacob only conquered because he refused to let God go. And he knew that if he was to cling to God, the only way God will let him go, if he would give him of his grace, and that is faith. Amen? Faith in the midst of a time of trouble. Jacob surrendered and he repented. Jacob persevered to the breaking of dawn. Friends, when the crisis comes, we are to persevere until the breaking of dawn. And what is the breaking of dawn? Until the coming of Jesus Christ. We are to persevere, brothers and sisters, in prayer, wrestling with God every day until the breaking of dawn, until Jesus returns. Now I want you to understand this. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Look at verse 27. Skip down to verse 27 and notice what the Word of God tells us. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Do you remember on another occasion when the Son of God asked this question? Where was it? The demoniac. "What is thy name?" And he replied, "My name is..." Why? Let me ask you this. Did God know his name? So why is God asking him his name? Because God wanted him to confess, listen, his true nature. What does the name Jacob mean? Supplanter. Usurper, deceiver. This is what was the problem of his character. And then the Lord tells him, and he said, "Thy name shall be called Israel." Ish, you know, Ish, the first two means man. Ra, wrestle, El for Elohim, God. Man wrestling with God. Israel, which also means overcomer. His name was changed from supplanter to overcomer. And God never changes a name without first changing a man's character. Jacob tried to receive the promises of God by deception, by self-reliance, but he later learned that he must rely in God's word. He needed to experience this ordeal in order to polish him and to prepare him. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Friends, we are living in a historic time. Today, the world is literally paralyzed because of the COVID-19 virus, also referred to as the coronavirus. Today, we see how quickly things can change. Wasn't it the king Nebuchadnezzar at the height of his power when he went up unto the gates of Ishtar, and as he was walking, he looked upon his kingdom and he cried out, "Isn't this the great Babylon that I have built?" And in the blink of an eye, what happened to him? He fell down for 7 years to eat grass like an animal. Brothers and sisters, When I hear that the motto is Make America Great Again, and when I hear the motto for 2020 is Keep America Great, I think, oh, brothers and sisters, we can never make America great or keep America great without the help of God. And today we are seeing how things can change. When everything was going so well, when the economy was doing at its best, when there was people getting jobs left and right, all of a sudden everyone is losing jobs. The Bible tells us that a storm is coming. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 8, page 315. A storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? Friends, it is in the midst of the storm that the Jacobs of this world will receive their new name. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Friends, it is in the midst of the storm that the Jacobs of this world will receive their new name. The church of God that will seem so close to have fallen, to fall, will rise and be able to proclaim the final message to the world in power. I want you to go back with me as we close, back to Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to finish with this. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning with verse 15. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling or sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, listen, yet will I not forgive thee? Verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands. The prophet Isaiah, looking into the future, sees a Savior. And what are those gravens in his hands? The crude nails that entered his hands, that pierced his hands. Our Lord, our Savior, is before the Father right now as our intercessor. And he shows the palms of his hands to his Father. And he says, my blood, my blood, my blood. Brothers and sisters, you will never inherit heaven by thy merits. We can only enter heaven through the merits of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is surrender our hearts and say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. What walls that are continually before him? Some have interpreted this as speaking about the walls that are around them as the church, Zion, and he's as the sentinel looking and protecting his people. Some have interpreted this as the walls of the New Jerusalem. But I want to believe that this is speaking about the walls that surround us, that he's constantly watching his people. Amen? Zion. And he will defend them. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what we're going to look like in a few months. I don't know what next year is going to look like. But God knows. And what's important for us to know is that when the Bible tells us, when you see all these signs, when you see all these things, you know that what? The summer is near. And when we understand this, we would know that he is even at the doors. Brothers and sisters, I'm convicted, I hope you are too, that our Lord and Savior is coming soon. Let's get ready. Amen. Let's prepare our homes. Let's rededicate our homes, our children, back to God. Let's get back into the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much again for the reminder that you will be with your people even in the midst of the crisis. We thank you, Father, that even though we're going through a difficult time around the world, we need to continue to trust in you. We give our lives to you. We give our hearts back to you. Go with us now as we go our separate ways and some who stay for the fellowship meal. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.